Turn to Zechariah 10. I shouldn't have got off on that because I got plenty to do here today. Probably won't get as far. If you could, be sure you grab a Bible, and if you could, we're going to use the Bible today and look at several things because I just want to show you some stuff from the Word of God. And so we're going to be using the Bible. If you could, we're going to be using slides too. A little bit of everything today, but we're going to be turning some. Sometimes we don't turn much. Sometimes we stay with the text and just follow it through. But today I just want to show you what the Word of God has to say about a certain topic that we will get to. I'm going to, so I titled this one today, False Shepherds and Good Shepherds, because that's sort of Zechariah 10. And we're going to get there in just a moment. I do want to back or retrace some steps that I talked about last week and just give you a little bit of update because things are occurring around, and I think it's important for us to be aware of how things go. This is Putin speaking, and remember I said last week that Russia was blocking the exports out of Ukraine. Ukraine is a is like about I didn't look today, but about the fifth largest exporter of wheat in the world, and it's a very much a breadbasket for that part of the world, and exports a lot of wheat into Africa. And without those exports, I mean, people will starve, and so those are being blocked. And so Putin was getting greatly criticized for that, and he announced this week at a meeting in Africa that he's going to provide, and he named some countries and places in Africa, 25,000 to 50,000 tons, free of charge and free delivery. And then mentions that they make a significant contribution to the global food industry, which they do, by the way. But it's, nobody's arguing that Russia doesn't produce goods. What we're arguing is they blocking somebody else. That's the problem. And so, what he's trying to do is make up for that grain that he is he's blocking. If that were to continue, now you can say, you can look at a map and you can truck some grain out of Ukraine. You can use the rivers instead of the Black Sea, but nothing comes close to, I mean, that the cost of that and the time to do that, the volume you can move is nothing compared to putting on a big tanker in the Black Sea and shipping that. So he is blocking it. It is a problem. This next slide is a quote. I don't know if you can read that or not, but from an individual that this is from the successful. I saw it in Successful Farming, but it's a quote of a guy that in Ukraine that said, "If the war does not end before the end of March, there'll be no more export sports from Ukraine after the summer of this year." And that this is especially affect the unstable countries of North Africa and the Middle East. And food prices could easily double from January 2022 on in that region of the world. Probably wouldn't necessarily do it here, although on one place, when the fifth largest exporter in the world can't export, it's going to have an effect globally because people will have to make up for that, including the U.S. And so, you know, and if you have a drought, I mean, we've not had a drought here this year. We're in better shape, but in the Midwest, we talked about that last week, a little bit of a drought. And so things can happen. And, we just need to be aware of that this is going on, because the thing historically that causes wars is food shortages and fighting for land. You know, I want territory or I need food. And so something is building up here. Just need to be aware of it. And of course, we've talked about that all in relation to prophecy, Revelation 6, where we know in the end times there's going to be massive inflation and massive food shortages. Now, let's keep going here. Lukashenko is the head of Belarus. And so remember, they've got these Wagner troops, or if you were to hear about this on the news, they say Wagner, because that's the European, they use the V for the W, but Wagner we would say in English. And they're the ones that remember, they went up from you fighting, they're hired by Russia. It's a independent army, hired, you might say. They're really a Russian hired army. They were fighting in Ukraine, and then they went up and tried to overtake Moscow a month or so ago. Remember that? Well, they're now in Belarus. Some of the guys have joined the Russian army. They're in Belarus, and so the head of Belarus is saying he's having trouble because they want to go in. These are soldiers. And they want to go in and fight the Poland, and they say I don't know of any evidence of this. John, could you hit me again forward? I don't know. Got stuck. Sometimes we work like a charm, and sometimes it. There we go. They're now saying that Poland is trying to annex Ukraine. I've heard nothing about that, but that's the excuse they're using. The reason people are worried is Poland is a NATO country, and there is this pact. And we're in NATO, and the pact is, if somebody attacks NATO, they attack us all. I mean, that's the point there. Now, does that mean, and you will hear in the news some sensational kind of newscasters that say, that means we've got to go to war and we should have never signed the NATO pact and all that. That you interpret that any way you want to, but in fact, we do not have to go to war just because somebody attacks a NATO country. I just clarify that. It is true that it says they attacked us. That does not mean that that we're bound by any agreement to return fire. We could, given what we're doing in Ukraine, we might. I don't know what's going to would happen, but in fact, we're not bound. Sometimes presidential administrations do things outside of the laws that they should do. That is true. But really, only the United States Congress can declare war. And so that's really the way it ought to go. If everybody would abide by that, you know, the way it was designed is the citizens elect somebody to go represent us in Washington, and then you vote on these kind of things, and that we've got a say in it in a way. And so, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it is heating up over there. There's food shortages, and this idea of whether Poland's trying to annex Ukraine, which I haven't found any truth in that myself. If you found different, let me know. And then Belarus wants to, the guys at Wagner wants to attack in Poland, which would be a NATO country. The other news, before I get into the lesson, of course, is Israel. Several of you have mentioned this to me, and I've talked about it a little while ago. I didn't mention it too much last week, I don't think, but, Israel did pass that law to change their, a little bit of structure in their government. It actually, you know, if you just want to get past the emotion, it actually makes it a little closer to what the United States has as far as a balance between the Supreme Court and the Congress. And, you know, here we have what we say and what is written. I'm not saying it always happens like this, but by and large, our system is that it's three separate but equal branches of government. You've got the executive branch, the congressional, or legislative, and you've got the judicial, and that's the balance. They passed a law just to kind of balance things up again, and I mean it looks like the whole country's exploding. It looks like that on TV. If you watch TV, sorry, if you see it, it's hard to get on a U.S. newscast, very hard to get a good, clear story, but it looks like the country's exploding. It is the other half, you know, of people that didn't vote for Netanyahu is what it is, and they're very upset. The day after they passed that, you know, the credit agencies lowered the credit standard for Israel, and so when Moody's and some of these lower that, means their borrowing costs will be more. There is no evidence at all that Israel won't be able to pay its bills, but they did that immediately. I thought that was quite an overreaction. But here's one thing that is true, and that is, this is from the Jerusalem Post, Israel's enemies see opportunity in crisis, because some of those that are protesting, let's say Netanyahu's on the right and he's got his coalition, they're not protesting. The people on the left that didn't vote for him are protesting, but a lot of those are in the military because it's a requirement At a certain age, everybody serves a couple of years in the military. That's a requirement that Israel's had for a long time. And male or female, you serve in that military. Well, that means by numbers, when I say half, I don't know if it's exactly half, but you know, half or a good proportion of that army is not happy right now. And some of them have refused to show up for their job. And in fact, this does make Israel vulnerable to an attack. And the enemies now are getting the flags out and circling around. And certainly we'll have to see what happens. But when you pray for Israel with regard to what is going on. One more thing, I've mentioned this before. It could happen. It's significant if it does. every president many presidents, when they're in trouble politically, or they get ready for an election, one thing they think's on their list is to go do some kind of an agreement with Israel. And for some reason, you know, that they do that. I mean, I could name you every president and what they tried to do. And Biden's no different. He wants to add Saudi Arabia to the Abraham Accords, and he wants to do it by the end of the year. That's the idea. Saudi Arabia says they will join the Abraham Accords if Israel goes back to the two-state solution at pre-1967 borders. Now, there's no way that Netanyahu is going to go to pre-1967 borders. This also from the Jerusalem Post, it says he's thinking about it, but he's not thinking about that. Now there's some idea that the Palestinians would join this thing. It would be a four-way between the U.S., Saudi, Israel, and the Palestinians. I'm just going to stay on record. Unless there's been a lot of work done the last 2 years under the radar, there's no way this will get done by the end of December. Four countries like that to join, I don't see it, but look, anything can happen. Anything can happen. I've got another slide I'm not going to put up just yet. I'm going to now go to Zechariah 10 in our text, and then I'm going to spend a good amount of time, more than I probably maybe even should, I don't know, on the subject of some of the things we just talked about last week, and I mentioned that I would say a little more about them. It's an important subject, and the only reason I say anything at all about it anyway is because our Congress took it up this week, and so I thought, well, you know, okay, I'll talk about it a little bit. I'm going to talk about it much from a biblical perspective. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Now, that's an example of a good shepherd, isn't it? I mean, God is saying, if you ask me for rain, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make the clouds show up, bright clouds that are going to make it rain. And that's, of course, the context here in Zechariah is at the end times. But we looked at some verses last week and spent some time on that verse where we talked about, in fact, God wants us to ask him for things. In fact, if you want something, we looked at a verse. I mean, if you want something, it's required that we show up and ask God for it, because he said, you want that? I will be asked for it. But God wants to. He's asking us to ask him. That's what kind of God that we serve. And he's a good shepherd. And he wants to give us things. He wants to provide. And he provides for us, the Bible says, benefits every day that we can't even imagine or think about. But yet, he wants us to ask, because he wants a relationship with us. Contrasting with verse 2 here, the false shepherds. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. I'm going to just stop right there. So he's talking about now Israel's leaders, that instead of going to God, they go over here to a diviner. What's in a diviner? You know, sometimes they're called a channeler. Today's word is medium. Somebody that can get a hold of not God, but something demonic, you see. And he says, he's trying to explain to them, when you do that, it's not that the demonic side will not respond, but they will respond with false dreams. You have seen a lie. They've answered in vain. Now, when it says, for the idols have spoken vanity, remember I talked about last week, our English word idols is a word that encompasses every kind of idol. Like the ones that they made out of wood and bowed down to, maybe they worshiped and it was a dead piece of wood, or including the teraphim, which were idols that spoke. In other words, somehow they guided, they truly, in fact, answered because they're demonic, you see. Teraphim, you see 8 passages in the Word of God about the teraphim. And this is one of those. Remember, it says, idols that have spoken vanity. That and when I looked it up, and this is in fact speaking of the teraphim. So they were speaking to Israel's leaders, all right, but they were giving false information. And of course, that resulted in, I'll read the rest of the verse, that speaking of Israel, therefore they went their way as a flock. And they were troubled because there was no shepherd. Obviously, if they're a leader of Israel and they're going and getting their information from somebody other than God, the result is going to be disastrous upon that nation. And that's what happened, is they are a flock of sheep having no shepherd, scattered everywhere. And of course, they're certainly vulnerable on that. Now, I'm going to say a word. I'm going to get on this a little bit for today. I'm not going to do this all the time, I tell you. But I want to give you a biblical perspective of something this. This is the next slide. This past week, there was, Congress. Now, by the way, it was a subcommittee. It wasn't all of them there, but there was a big deal on Congress talking about the topic of UFOs. They don't call them UFOs anymore. They call them UAPs. And of course, now we got a report here that says, well, the Pentagon didn't really provide all the information. And when the Pentagon does that, it's thought, isn't it? I mean, if you don't give them all the information, that they're hiding something. And, you know, and I just wanted to deal with this little issue of UFOs. And I'm going to look at it from a biblical perspective. If anybody asks you about this, you'll have enough information. Now, I'm going to try to get it done today, and you'll have enough information and some biblical text. So we're going to use the Bible and look at some things to be able to answer it. I'm going to start this way, and then I'm going to start a certain way, and then I'm going to go to something, and I'm come back to it. But in our life, we live in 4 dimensions: length, width, height, and time. So everything we got, you know, if you're a mathematician or a builder or a physicist, I mean, I'm looking at the pulpit, length, width, height, I mean, that's how I see it, right? And we also live in time. That's how we live. That's our thing. So now, let me give you an example. It's a very crude example, but it'll make the point of another dimension. Mathematicians, good ones, some of them even biblically based, not very many, but some, but mathematicians have calculated that in fact there are other dimensions. In fact, they've calculated that there are 10 dimensions. 10. Now I'm going to give you an example. This is a crude example, but it will make the point, I think, that might help us. If you and I go to the 4th of Broadway play over here, the 4th of Broadway parade, not play, the parade, and we're standing there as the thing starts and we see the whole parade and we watch everything that goes by, how long does that take us? 45 minutes or some number, you sit there, you know, and right? Time. You see, the parade in our dimension is time. Now, what if you and I got a helicopter and we, while the whole parade was going, we got on top of it and we looked down? We would see that parade from beginning to end. I mean, if we got in the right spot and the whole thing was going and we had maybe in our case, depending on how long, how tall we had to get, you know, binoculars, but we could see the whole thing just at once. Now, do you see the contrast there? You can stand here for 45 minutes and watch the thing go by one by one. Or if you're on top, you can see from beginning to end. Right? You can see the whole thing. Pray, boom. 1 second, less than a second. One glance, we can see the whole thing. When we say God does not live in time, and God knows everything that's going to happen, it's a very crude picture, but that's the picture. Is God can see the whole thing, you see. He sees the beginning, and he sees the end. When we are here and the parade's just starting, we really can't see the end of it, can we? It's got to come by. We have to wait 45 minutes for it to go by. If we're on top of the thing looking down, we don't have to wait 45 minutes. You see the difference? That's what I mean by a different dimension. Now, all right, so let's hold that thought. Several months ago, I talked about signs and wonders. Remember that? And I said in the Old Testament, for example, they did a lot of miracles, didn't they? I mean, Moses did all those things, Elijah, Elisha. I mean, there were lots of signs and wonders. And the Bible says that the Jews require a sign. But what else does it say? The Greeks or the Gentiles, which probably everybody in here is a Gentile, as far as I know, the Gentiles do not require a sign, right? The Bible says Gentiles seek after wisdom. That's what we're doing today. We're trying to understand something. We seek after wisdom. We don't require a sign. The Jews require a sign. So when Jesus came, what God tried to do there was have a time of tremendous signs. And Jesus had a tremendous ministry of healing. I mean, they lined up, and I think it was our pastor, I believe, last week, talked about raising somebody from the dead. I mean, Jesus never showed up at a funeral procession that he didn't break up the funeral, right? Because he raised them from the dead. That's the ministry he had. So tremendous. Then when Jesus ascended, and in fact, even before he ascended, he gave the apostles the ability to also do signs and wonders. And when he ascended, he left the sign, what's called the signs of the apostles. The disciples had them, later on Paul as well, and they were able to, through God, also do those miracles. Now, because the Jews rejected God, I mean, they had been shown the signs and they still didn't believe. Even though in the book of John, we studied several years ago, you know, God gave them several witnesses, didn't he? That Jesus was the Christ. One of them was those signs and they still did not believe. And what was going to happen is Paul was going to go out and God turned to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles believed. I mean, you can look at it. The Jews today do not believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but Gentiles, by and large, not all of them are saved. Not all Gentiles are saved. I'm not trying to say that. But of the people that believe, it's mostly Gentiles. There's some Jews saved. Hey, praise God for that. And you may know some. I know some. But in fact, we support some. But in fact, we are church. Our church supports, you know. In fact, it's the churches today, the New Testament church is largely Gentiles, massively largely Gentiles. And the Gentiles do not require a sign, and so Paul could actually see, and we studied this, that as he was ministering, he could see that the signs and wonders were going down, didn't he? But why? Because there wasn't a need for the sign. Regardless of what is being taught in some churches today, There is no need for signs because why? We have the full word of God and we walk by faith, not by sight. Clearly, that's the plan for today, and that's how the gospel is going out. Now, I'm not saying miracles aren't done. I'm not trying to say that. What I am saying is, let's just watch. But I don't think anybody's going to show up over at the hospital this afternoon and clear it out by doing a miracle, are they? No, it's not going to. But in Jesus' day, that would have happened. If Jesus walked in over here, he cleared it out immediately. Might have just stood out in the parking lot and did the whole thing. You know, I mean, he might have done that. But that's not going to happen today because we do not live in that time. But as we get to the end of time, the church age is going to be over. And God is going to turn his attention back to Israel because he's not going to leave Israel behind. The church is the bride of Christ and it's going to be raptured and we will be with the Lord and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But God's not finished with Israel, regardless what others say. By the way, it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God is going to revisit Israel at the last days, and we know that to be what we call the 70th week of Daniel, right? Or the tribulation period. And I could show you verses, and I got so many today that I can already see it, and so I'm not going to show you any verses there, but you can look it up, Book of Revelation, and several other places. There's going to be all kinds of signs and wonders in the 70th week. And that's because the Jews require a sign. So the point is that the signs and wonders are going to go, they went down during the ministry of Paul. Paul said it and explained it to us. We're walking by faith now. For 2,000 years, the church went without, for the most part, without signs. Certainly not any kind of ministry like was in the past. But when the church is raptured, at some point after that, not necessarily that day, at some point after that, the signs and wonders are certainly going to be prevalent in the 70th week. The question is, will there be something leading us into that 70th week? Will we see some things before we're raptured? And my only point there is this. I don't know for sure, but here's what I would say. They're having meetings in the government about UFOs. We're seeing other things that are converging, aren't we? That we knew would have to happen. Certain alignment of nations is happening. The return of Israel as a state, even in 1948, and remember, God doesn't live with time, right? To us, you might say, well, it's not all that recent. It is recent. And that was a big thing. You know, there are several things that had to happen that are converging and happening at the same time. We talk about them every now and then. And so it makes sense, although I couldn't show you a scripture on it, that we're going to, well, I could show you something that hints at it, but I believe we could see some things and are seeing some things because we're in the last days. And I think that's what's going on. Now, is this verse true or not? Well, it's from the Bible, so it's true. What does it say? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What does that say? That says there are that we if I'm have a dust up with you, you know, really and true. I hope not. I hope it doesn't happen. It's really, I'm not wrestling with you. You're not wrestling with me. That evil thing that's happening between two Christian people is because we wrestle against and principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, those are all levels of demons. Levels of demons. And so there is this verse is true. We do not see it, But there is a spiritual realm and the battle is going on. And God's got his angels as well. If you got your Bibles, you don't have to keep Zechariah. Well, I can see now there's not a chance I'm going to get back to it. But look at Matthew 18. We're just going to look at a few verses here and there. Matthew 18 that are important. And I'll try to bring this to some conclusion here. Matthew 18, Jesus speaking in verse 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do also behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Well, little children have angels, don't they? That's what it says, right? Now, we've heard the term guardian angel. The term guardian angel is not in the Bible, but there are some things that tell us that, in fact, that we have angels watching over us, and we know they are ministering spirits to us. We know the Bible tells us that. And here specifically, Jesus talks about them. Go to the book of Hebrews, to the right here, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, look at I'll read verse 1. "Let brotherly love continue." Verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Is that verse true? It is true. These angels... Now, God does not use them to scare us. God does not use them to frighten us. God does not use them in any way that they would get in the headline. It's not the case. God's not doing that. But God has purpose for the angels as they minister, and they obviously have the ability to show up and be entertained by us without us understanding that. That's not an angel. That's what it says. I'm just going... You say, well, that's what it says, right? A long time ago, somebody told me, I'm talking about, maybe 40 years ago, 30 or 40 years ago, somebody told me, hey, that verse is in there. Because I was I didn't understand that at all. But then I began to understand it. If it's in there, it's in there, right? Look at 1 John. By the way, who wrote the book of Hebrews? We don't know, but it doesn't say. We guess Paul. We think Paul, but it does not say. It is something in the Bible that you go Hebrews, James, if you're going to the right, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. From Hebrews on, Hebrews not identified, on to the book of Revelation, Paul is not an author. Is he? I mean, he is in Hebrews, but he's not named. Whereas before that, Paul wrote most of the Bible, didn't he? I mean, the Gospels he didn't write, but, didn't write Acts, but after that. And so those Pauline epistles are for the church. It's not to say they're not for anybody else. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying specifically designed, Paul was writing to the church. It is said, although I couldn't prove this, that while all the Bible's for us, and certainly we get a lot of information. Hebrews, one of my favorites, and we get a lot of information from Hebrews to Revelation, and those are written to the church also. We know specifically the Lord said Revelation was. So I'm not saying it's not. It is written to the church, but it's something that Paul's not included here. The Jews... I wonder, and so it is said that after the rapture, when the Jews in fact start looking, and some of them, a third of them, will accept Jesus, that it's because they pick up the Bible and start, well, we haven't been reading the New Testament, let's start, and they see the book of Hebrews, and they start, well, we're Hebrews, so we'll read Hebrews, right? And Paul's not named, so they were greatly offended in Paul. He's not named, so they read Hebrews. They go all the way to the end. They never have to read a book of Paul. But they read some things about Jesus Christ being the Son of God and understand what's happening to them as they get the book of Revelation and get saved. quickly in 1 John as an example, what they might read and what we will read and what's important for us. 1 John is written so that you might know that Jesus Christ, by the way, is the Son of God. But we're going to start in chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. By the way, if somebody's preaching and they confess that Jesus Christ is, if somebody's preaching and they will not confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you better get out of there, right? Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that's what he's saying about spirits. Now, we haven't got to the point in time where the Spirit is going to be confessing like they might in the future. False prophets, but the Spirit working through them. We might see some of this. Every creature, verse 3, that it confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come even now. Look at that. Even now is already in the world. Is it already in the world? Yeah, it's not indwelled. The Antichrist is a human, is not indwelled with that spirit yet, but that's what's going to happen. But it's already in the world. Some things are happening, aren't they? Chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Have we got an understanding? That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Look at this last verse. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Isn't that interesting? He ended the verse with the same term. It's not teraphim, but it's the term, idols. The same English word that is used in Zechariah, and he warned us, keep yourself from those idols. Stay away from them. That's what he's saying. He talked there all about it. I could break those down. Maybe I should spend a little more time there. Break those things. He's warning about false spirits, isn't he? False, that will be so prevalent in the end time. And he said, stay away from it. Stay away from those idols. Now let me just tie it all together in the last couple of minutes I have. Angels and spirits are operating in dimensions that we cannot see. We're length, width, height, and time. That's us. And they're operating in other dimensions. It is said that if there are 10, I don't know if there's just 10, that Adam and Eve, some good Bible scholars of a long time ago said that Adam and Eve, in fact, operated in all 10 when they were created. And when they got expelled from the garden, they were stuck with the 4 that we got, length, width, height, and time. That's how the Garden of Eden could be right there, and they couldn't see it because it's in another dimension, you see. Remember, the dimension now, it's different. It's just like a different view, like looking down at that parade. If I were to lay a piece of iron that would not bend 500 miles north, let's say, from here to Kansas or something, that would not bend, and I had it, we all stood on top of it on this end, and in fact it was flat to the ground, what would it be when it got to Kansas? Would it be flat? No, it would be in the air a little bit, wouldn't it? Why is that? Because the world's round. And so you see what I mean? It'd be like that. Can you see that the world's round? Can we go out here and Quaker and say the world? No, we don't see it. It's just another crude example of something happening. We can't see it, but it's in a little bit. It's another dimension. I think when we come back in our glorified body, we'll be in 10 dimensions. I personally think only God is outside of time. That's my personal feeling. I think the angels, I think I could show you scripturally, they're inside of time like we are. What's happening with these UFOs is not people from Mars. Even other people that studied this say, it's in our own atmosphere here that's happening. This is not coming from Mars. There's no evidence of that. By the way, it's not. There's not any little green men out there. Why does a glimpse happen? Why is that happening? Because the angels operate in some of those other dimensions. You read the reports from last week, from this past week. Their testimony is, look, they can come in invisible, they can become visible and then invisible. They can move faster than we can even comprehend. We have nothing to match it. They say we have great worry about this. There's no way we can fight it. Well, the reason there's a glimpse is because they're not doing what John said and keeping themselves away from idols. If the people that deal in this sort of thing, that work in it, countries that really working the occult and demons and so forth, in fact, a little bit slips through and begin to see. That's the reason when I pray for the country, I pray that we keep ourselves away from that. But countries that don't, and states that don't, like I mentioned California last week, that's where it shows up. It's places where people disobey God and get into things that they shouldn't get into, they can start to find things. Now, they just see it for a second, but because things are slipping through. I didn't have time to get, you can jot this down, you can look at it yourself. 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7 talks about a restrainer that's holding things back until the tribulation period. And that restrainer is the Holy Spirit. He's not holding sin back. He's holding back this spirit of iniquity. And he's going to let go at some time in the tribulation period, and everything's going to break loose right there. But I believe as we get close, just like the signs and wonders picking up, I believe as we get closer and closer to time, some things are starting to appear. Some things are starting to come. All I'm saying is, this is just a picture of the last days. That's what it all is. Nobody's coming from Mars. By the way, if somebody says we got to do something because all these people are going to destroy us, that's not the way it happens. No, we got the book. We know how it goes, right? We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. I was hoping to get some more verses so we can end on a bright note. So let me just say that Jesus is the good shepherd. And we don't have to worry about this stuff. Just do what John said. Keep ourselves from idols. Obey what Jesus said, folks, and we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Do not spend a minute worrying about it, although some things could happen in this world because the world is spending time on this, aren't they? But we don't have to worry. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus is going to take care of his bride. You can be confident of that. I'm already over. We're going to be dismissed. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word and Lord that we